This week, we're joined by Cabrini Roy, founder of a London-based women's wear label which shares the same name. Cabrini's British and Filipino heritage is heavily influenced in her minimalist and handcrafted designs, and her slow fashion ethos is at the heart of her brand. Her love for fashion came about when she was just 9 years old, and 4 years later, she turned her talent into reality. Her mother was her muse growing up and inspired her to develop her passion further through her education. She began her journey studying fashion and textiles at the University for the Creative Arts, which then led her to the London College of Fashion, where she studied fashion design and women's wear. In this episode, we discuss how she set up Cabrini Roy without having the business tools and the experience, as well as giving us an insight into the day in the life of running her brand. Cabrini's challenges and experiences inspired her to set up a community-orientated program where she teaches basic pattern cutting, ways to communicate with manufacturers, and most importantly, finding joy in passing down knowledge. This educational episode is all about not limiting yourself to just one thing. Why do that when you can do them all? Trust me, you want to add this one to the list.
Welcome to the Designer to Designer podcast show. This is a safe space created for aspiring and startup fashion designers entrepreneurs. Through this podcast show, I sit down with some of your favorite independent designers and give you exclusive behind the scenes access to their lives and brands. I aim to make sure you get to know the designers for who they are and finally engage with relatable stories. We touch on everything from mindset to finances to their childhoods and their biggest, wildest fashion dreams. This podcast is hosted by yours truly, Rebecca Tembo, founder of a self-titled women's wear label and the Entry platform which produces this show. Now sit tight, enjoy the ride, and get ready to be blown away by today's episode. Welcome to Designer to Designer, Cabrini. I'm so happy to have you here. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thank you for having me. I'm so excited.
So I want to talk about your mum.
Yeah.
As being a nurse, she was a huge fashion influence for you. And she actually got your first sewing machine at 13 years old as well. So tell us a bit more about her and your earliest memories of fashion.
My mum is my biggest inspiration when it comes to fashion. Growing up, I loved her style. I mean, to this day, some of my clothes are actually her clothes. Like, you know, when people say mum jeans. No, my jeans are literally my mum's jeans. So she would always like love to dress up, and there was no event that she would be dressing down. So she really made me fall in love with fashion. My sisters and my clothes growing up were so very stylish and very extra. And my mom loved dressing us up in these extra outfits. Like, looking back in our baby photos, I'm like, well, I'm going to the shops, I'm wearing a dress. So my earliest memory of fashion was probably when she was dressing us up. And I remember, like, at the age of 9, like, I picked up like a pen and paper, and that's when I first started designing. And at 13, my parents bought me my first sewing machine. And it was really then when I started to learn how to sew, like the beginner to everything. And yeah, like the funny story of that is, like, I actually used like a curtain, and it was literally our curtain. I made a skirt out of it. So I was like, I had a sewing machine, but no fabric. And I was so impatient that from when my parents were going to take me to the fabric shop, I was like, yep, this curtain will do. So yeah. So yeah, my mom is like literally my biggest inspiration, and also as well, like, her coming from like the Philippines and stuff, and like a lot of my ideas come from my heritage of my mixed culture of British and Filipino. So my mom is I have this muse in my head of like a modern Filipina living in a city, and sometimes I imagine it as my mom, like, what would she dress up, how would she wear this and all of that. Like, I just love thinking of this like modern British Filipina living in like a city, and that's how I have, like, that's how I design from that muse. And I love thinking of it as well as like my mom. So yeah, she's a very big inspiration to me.
I love that. That's so sweet. Does she know this? Does she know how much she influences this? She does.
Yeah, when she hears it, she's gonna get so excited. She knows bits of this, but I don't think she knows in depth of how much she's inspired me. So
that is so sweet. So what's your educational background in fashion? I know you studied at UCA and London College of Fashion, but what exactly did you study, and how valuable was that experience for you?
So I studied a BTEC in fashion and clothing during college, and that really helped me a lot because I actually learned how to pattern cut there. And our teacher at the time was also teaching like university students. So he really helped us to like preparation of a fashion degree. And yeah, and then after I did the BTEC in fashion and clothing, I then went on to do a foundation in fashion and textiles pathway at University for the Creative Arts. And that foundation really helped me with portfolio building because I actually didn't get into LCF for the first time. So I wanted to try again. And that's when I went to UCA and in Epsom. So that's when I did the fashion and textiles pathway. And it was really then how I got taught of how to build my portfolio and be more creative. And I'm really grateful for that, actually, because it really taught me different ways of designing and just being creative. And it was a year that I was able to explore like different ways to design. And then after that, I got into LCF and I applied there. I got in. So I studied fashion design, women's wear there. And I love being at fashion school and being surrounded by these different designers and creatives. And it was really fun. Like you all want to be like, you all want to become designers and you want to have ideas. And it was really fun being surrounded in that environment. I learned a lot, but just like every other uni, it was quite very independent. Like it was very like, you have to solve your own problem yourself. You have to self-teach a lot. Which at the time I was really struggling, but now I'm actually very thankful for that because now having a brand, I do everything myself. So I have to train and self-teach myself a lot. So that really helped me in like being able to train myself in self-teaching myself, if that makes sense. So yeah, so that really, really helped. And yeah.
Yeah, with business, I mean, in general, there's so much you have to learn that no one yeah. would ever be able to tell you. And even the challenges that you face, they're going to be yeah. so unique to you. So yeah. having that ability to just figure things out, use your initiative, take responsibility. It's so good that you're able to like cultivate those skills whilst you're yeah. studying. And now it prepared you for your brand.
Yeah, honestly, like at the time, you're literally like, why? Like, why do I have to talk? I want to ask my teachers. But now it's like, you don't have anyone to help you. You don't have anyone that you can ask for, like your tutors or anything like that. So yeah. it really prepared me in my brand. And I'm actually very thankful of that now. So yeah.
So what did you do after university? And when did you start your label?
So I took actually like a year out after graduation and after fashion school, just because I felt like I needed a break. Like I feel like when you're at fashion school, your passion kind of becomes forced. Like you have to, during certain projects, you're forced to come up with ideas. And even though that's like fun and challenging as a designer, but 3 years of that can take your passion a little bit away from it. So that's what I felt. I felt like I was kind of a bit, my passion for fashion designing wasn't really there anymore. So I felt like, you know what, I needed a year out. I just need to rethink about all of this. So I actually ended up working in retail. I worked at like Karl Lagerfeld. And it was really then actually during that year that I started designing, but for myself, like I found my passion again. And I'm really grateful for that because I managed to come up with ideas that I loved and I was finding myself again in designing. So it was really then as well that I saved up for my label and I worked there for a year to save up for my brand. And it really got me focused for my brand and aligned me with the vision for my brand. And I feel like that time off, if I didn't have that time off, I wouldn't know the vision and aesthetics that I wanted for my brand. So it really prepared me. So yeah.
Is there anything else that you took from working in retail that's helped you?
Working in retail, I think obviously like the whole customer service side, like me doing everything myself in my business, it really taught me talking to customers, talking to my clients and stuff like that. And also as well as like the backlog to this to manufacturing and stuff, like how when they get like when they get garments in, how does that work and all of that. So it was nice to see as like what it was like in the stores and how you would see like an idea, because they would normally be like, oh yeah, this is going to be coming out, like how are we going to be speaking to customers about it. So actually that really taught me, because as well like now, like that's how I kind of like those are the skills I use and stuff. So yeah
I find that retail is just such a good learning curve generally. Yeah. It makes you a tougher person because it's crazy. But yes. Yeah, but like you learn so much, because I've also worked in luxury fashion as well in retail, but yeah. I feel like my customer service experience, And I think the reason it's so good is because I worked at McDonald's as my first job.
Yeah.
And it really just made me, you know, you have to go like above and beyond when you work at McDonald's, and you're like on the floor, you're cleaning, then the next minute you're like just doing all of these things, you know, and you're really smiling all the time and making sure people have a great experience. And I feel like from that, it just helps me so much with my brand and like just how I'm able to just talk to people, because and honestly, it's very hard to keep a smile on your face when you're like frying fries at the same time. So if you can do it,
really,
you can
definitely, really build you up.
Exactly. So you did your first collection at London Fashion Week in 2019. And you literally only had 2 weeks to make it because of the time they contacted you. So talk us through what must have been a very crazy time.
Yeah, so I was actually in the Philippines during the time, and I got an email if I wanted to showcase like during London Fashion Week. And I was like, okay, why not? Let's do it. Let's see if I can do this. And I got back and I actually had like 2 months to create everything. And that's 2 months to create a theme, an idea, designing, pattern cutting, sampling, spinning it to a model, all of that. So by the time I had done all of that, I only had like literally 2 weeks to create and sew up 6 outfits. So I actually ended up making the entire collection of 6 outfits in 2 weeks. And so many things happened, like so many things went wrong. Like I remember I burnt one of my final garments, and I was nearly done. Like I was literally sewing up the hem and I burnt the front of it. And I was literally, I wanted to cry. I was like, I only have like a couple of days left. And I actually ended up staying in my studio overnight. Like I started up again. I was like, you know what? I need to get this dress made. I was like, no, let's do this. So I stayed up in my studio overnight. And I remember my parents, they gave me, they came and they gave me like pajamas, because I was like, yeah, I'm not coming home. I was like, I burnt my dress. I was like, I'm just gonna stay home and I did it all again. And they like gave me pajamas and stuff, and I was literally in my studio in my pajamas just sewing up this garment again because I burnt it in the day. So yeah, so many things went wrong, but I'm actually so proud of that collection, because I loved how that was the collection that kind of obviously debuted as well my brand, because I wanted to start a label when I was in the Philippines and stuff. I went there for holiday, and I knew I wanted to start up a label, but I just didn't want to start up a label using my graduate collection, because at the time it was very denim, which if you see now is very, very, very different to my brand aesthetic. So I was like, I don't want to start up a label in this collection. I wanted to start it up in a collection that I love, that I wanted my brand to be seen as. So that I feel like that collection again was like the setting stone to my brand vision and aesthetic. So yeah, I loved that collection, and I'm really proud that I managed to showcase it during London Fashion Week, and everything went out fine.
Good. So, yeah. What did that day look like the actual day that you showcased your collection?
So at the actual day that I showcased my collection, I had a photo shoot the day before for my SS20 collection. So I took photos of all the garments before this, Fashion Week. So I was like literally trying to get the models like, please don't get stains on it. Please don't do this. Please don't rip it when you sit. I was so stressed. But the day was it was such a dream. I had like interns working, like helping me out. They were so helpful. They were helping me out, like pick out the models and stuff, because I had a bit of problems with which models to have, which models would fit, and all of this. So the interns was really, really helpful. And then being able to actually, when it went down the runway, and then I went down the runway with it to do the design, it was just such a dream. Like it was just such everything I've ever dreamed about since I was 9. It felt so surreal. It was such like a dream come true, that's basically. But it was still a stress. I mean, I say this now, dream come true, but it was a very stressful day. Like I had to get my boyfriend to like go get heels, because one of the heels like was not fitting on a model. So he literally was running around Oxford Circus trying to find the right heel that would fit all my collection. So all of this, and then trying to find the model, the right model that would fit in the garment as well. So yeah, it was a dream, but it was a very stressful day.
Yeah, there's so much that happens behind the scenes that people just don't even know, you know, yet alone having to sew all of the designs within 2 weeks and then do your shoot and then do the show. It's so much. I hope you rested after that. Oh my god.
Yeah.
Must have been so crazy. So Cabrini Roy operates as a made to order brand, and I'm curious as to what your average day looks like and why you chose the made to order route.
So I love the idea of having like a slow fashion brand, not wasting any like products, but just creating an order on a garment when it's been ordered by a customer. It makes each product so unique to each customer. It's like handmade and made to order, especially for them. And I loved it because I used to love walking around when I create my own clothes, because I was like, oh, this is such a one of a kind. It was made for me. Only I have this. And I love the idea of people walking around in Cabrini Roy, and it's especially made for them. It makes them feel so special, unique, and empowered, as it was literally brought to life for them. So I love that idea. So I love that feeling as a designer wearing my own clothes. So I want to be able to share that with my customers. And a typical day to day, I would normally get in my studio about like 10 o'clock. I'd answer emails first, and I actually split the days of working on my online course and creating orders. So I would normally create an order, and I would start up until about 4 o'clock. And after that, I'd go home. And that's actually when I work on my online courses. So a typical day, it's not even day, but it's like 24 hours thing.
Yeah.
I'd normally go into my studio and create orders first, and then I'd go home and I'd work on my course. So that is a typical day-to-day of Cabrini Roy.
And for those listening, Cabrini actually did an amazing Instagram takeover for the NK platforms. If you go on our Instagram, I think it's Day in the Life or something, one of the highlights, you'll see her full day in the life of studio and then recording for your course and everything. But yeah, like, I mean, having a job is like a 24/7. Having a business is a 24-hour job, shall I say. And it just... Yeah. It's a lot, and it's like you even dream about it, you go to bed thinking about it. It's crazy.
I think I was saying to my sister, it's like finding, differentiating, shutting off and going to bed, but you can't, like, it's just like 12 o'clock your brain is still running.
Exactly. There's always something to do, you know.
Yeah.
What's been the hardest part of running your label today?
Something that has been really, I mean, as well as like trying to find the business side, like trying to learn all of that, I feel like that was something I really struggled in, because I went and studied a creative subject. So from that to trying to learn how to run a business and learning all these different things to running a brand and a business, I think that I really really struggled with that. Like I said, into the entry platform, I actually said like normally each like council would normally have like 1 hour of free like business mentoring, so it's really good to get that. So that really helped me, and being able to know that, it's just quite difficult, like, you know, trying to find the business side, trying to figure it out as well by yourself. And obviously, because you can't just ask someone, be like, hi, how do I start a business? Like, I mean, you can get a business mentor, but I mean, like, being a small fashion label, you don't really have a budget for that. So that was like really difficult for me when I was first starting up. And also another thing that I struggled with first is like at the beginning of my brand was probably like not getting much sales, which is like quite discouraging as like when you're just starting up a label. But I think it's just so important to remember that the right customers and the right people will buy your garments. You just have to keep going. And I think that's one of the encouraging things to think about. I think it's just like the right people will come. I mean, at the first, like, that was something that really made me want to quit. I was just like, oh, like, am I doing this right? Am I finding the right people, all of this? But just know that the right people will come, and they will buy your garments, and they will be your ideal customer anyway, because you have an ideal customer in mind. You don't want to be just buying from someone who's not your muse or your ideal customer and stuff like that.
With the first point, so what did you do to improve your business acumen?
I did that business mentorship with the council. So I did that. And then I also, I think researching a lot as well. Like literally just out, and I would listen to so many podcasts of business people. There is just so much to learn from people who have already done it, like people who have already done there and been there, and they want to share. So I listen to so many podcasts about people who are building their brand or building businesses and what they did at the beginning, because these are people who have actually got experience in it. Like, of course, we can just sit there and read and all of this, but to learn from someone who's actually been there and done that, I think that's so important. So I was listening to so many podcasts and just replacing music to listening to podcasts. And that really shifted my mindset and really broadened my knowledge in the business world as well.
Definitely. I'm the same with you, like podcasts, yeah, reading, yeah, YouTube videos, whatever it is, yeah, that I can find. Like, I just love looking at people that inspire me and just finding, yeah, as much content on them, yeah, as possible. And I'm like, oh my God, you just learn so much for free. What's been the most rewarding part of running Cabrini Roy and being a businesswoman?
I think sometimes I have to pinch myself because it's like all I've ever dreamt of, like growing up. I think the most rewarding part is like being able to look back and being grateful and thankful that I have a label that I once dreamt of having. I think it's so important to look back to where you were and to where you are now. And seeing others in my creation is so rewarding, like seeing garments that I designed and created being worn by people, whether it's like my customers or whether it's like celebrities. And I always have like a pinch me moment because I can't believe they're wearing like a Cabrini Roy piece. And I think the most rewarding part of being a businesswoman is being able to just like give back, whether that's like my family back home or as like that's in my church and stuff. Like being able to give back just means being able to like share my blessings to like more people. And I love having a business because I'm able to do that and able to share my resources and like my knowledge and stuff like that, and as well as my blessings. So yeah, I think it's the most rewarding part.
Random question, but what would be like the ideal vision for your brand, and not even necessarily like the clothing or customers, yeah, but just like, I guess, your ideal day, team, environment, things like that?
Yeah, I would love to have like a studio of people. I would love to have it because I interned at like Osman, a fashion house, and I was like, I want to have this one day. Like he has like in their studio, they have like a photo studio, and they have like a social media team, and they have like all of this. Because right now it's all my role. I would love to have that, a team that would help me create a path for Cabrini Roy and our vision and stuff. So I would love to have like in my studio to have like two or three seamstresses like creating samples, and we have like pattern cutters and social media people as well, and like a room where we have like a photo studio, because right now I have to turn my studio into a photo studio, so I have to like move everything, mm-hmm, and turn it into a photo studio. So that would be such a dream, like if I could have like a place where I could grow my brand with people that could help me really create a path for the vision I wanted for my brand. So yeah,
you'll definitely get there. I love that.
Yeah,
you'll always stick to the made to order business model.
I thought about this. It depends. Like if I have like in studio seamstresses, it depends if they're able to do the made to order. I mean, if we have a lot of order, I would probably manufacture, but it would still be in the UK. Like I would manufacture in the UK. And so I'm able to watch closely and see that the workers are being paid right as well, and all of that. And so, yeah, I think I would definitely see, like, I think I definitely see like how the order is like. If my seamstress in the studio are able to make the made to order, then yeah, we definitely do that. But if it's obviously like too much, then yeah, then they'd probably have to outsource and out manufacture. So yeah.
Cool. Alongside running your brand, you've also created educational resources to help aspiring designers. So do you mind telling us about these?
Yeah, so I have a basic pattern cutting course that teaches pattern cutting all the way to like the beginner of sewing. So I just created it because I think it's so important when you're just starting out fashion, when you're just starting out wanting to be a fashion designer or wanting to have your own label, like knowing like the basics of pattern cutting really helps like a lot, because it's the way you communicate to like your manufacturers, to your seamstress, to your pattern graders. So knowing the basics is like really important. And I remember when I was starting out, I wanted to know these things. So I literally created a course that I would have loved to have done like before, after, and during fashion school, and being able to share and pass down the knowledge of being able to bring your design ideas to life. Because that, I think that's so important as a designer, being able to know how I've just designed something, how am I able to create this? How am I able to bring this to life? Because not everyone has a budget of a pattern cutter. Not everyone has a budget of like being able to have a sample. No, to be able to have like a pattern cutter or like a sample person that would sew up your samples. So knowing those basic skills is like key, and it like brings you like brings aspiring designers like a step closer to having their own brand and being fashion designers. And I think it's just so important to be able to pass down that knowledge. I never knew how important until doing this course, like seeing my students like saying that the course helped them so much and all of this. I never knew the joy of being able to pass down my knowledge. I was like, wow, like it's actually helping people, like it's actually solving a problem for them that they were so confused with pattern cutting, so confused of being where to start. Like, I want to be a fashion designer, where do I start? And like doing the course and having that, they're able to now take that stepping stone. So I think that was that was like a really important thing. And I also have like I also launched like a fashion design project planner. So it basically helps you plan your projects and helps you plan your day-to-days, all of this. And it was just like a planner and a template that gives you plans of how to plan each design, or just how to like pretend like if you want like how to plan your fabric samples, how to plan your literally everything about your project. Because I wanted to have that. It's actually what I use in my brand. I have these pages, and I was like, oh, why not also like give it out and resource it to people, because it might help them as well plan their ideas and their designs from literally designing to the end product, and like and also plan their day-to-day life. Like I have a planner, and I remember having a planner, and I had this planner of 2021, but I was like, I wish it had like, what am I designing today? Like, what am I doing this? Yeah. So I was like, I'm going to create that planner. So I created that planner, and I was like, oh, it's actually really good to be able to share this to people. So it doesn't just include like the planner to designing. It also has like a planner for a fashion designer. So yeah.
That's so good. And I love that, because I think when we first spoke, I was like, I love the fact that besides your brand, you also have something that you can obviously create into another stream of income, also helping other people, which I'm all about. Like, I think especially as designers, we can't just rely on, you know, one stream of income. And whilst we want to grow that, and that can be the main thing, it's just good to bear in mind that there's other things that we can do. Because for example, like look at this pandemic, you know, a lot of people have definitely succeeded within this pandemic, but imagine if you had something just to, you know, give you a little cushion so you're not that stressed out. Like this is such a good alternative, and it's so fulfilling. I think it's just such rewarding work, just knowing how much you've managed to help people. So
That's literally like what you said is literally why I started up the course. Like I actually launched my label, and then it was the pandemic, and I actually had to close my brand. Like, I couldn't take any orders because I couldn't, everything stopped, like the whole world stopped. Like, I couldn't get fabrics in, all of this. And during that time was actually, I was like, oh, I have all this free time, what do I do? And I put up a story like of people, like, oh, how, where did you learn to pattern cut? And I was like, oh, actually I learned at school, like, would you be interested, all of this? And people were like, yes. And I was actually surprised amount of people. So in the pandemic was actually when I created the course, because I had all of that free time. And like you said, like as designers, it's honestly such a good thing to also have another source of income. So like when something like that happens, like when we have to close our brand or something like that, we have another thing. So yeah, I think that's really important.
Yeah. And how did you grow your audience as well? Because I think I actually came across you on TikTok. I think that's how I found your brand.
Yeah.
But I don't think you know how the social media stuff works. Yeah. So TikTok. And then I think there was like an ad on Instagram. And it's only until I went back on TikTok recently and I was just like, oh my God, like I actually saw this before and I didn't realize. But how did you manage to like grow your audience and everything?
So I really have been using like TikTok and Reels a lot. Like people love to see like the behind the scenes. And I didn't really know that up until like that, like TikTok and like Reels came. So I would literally just be uploading like my day-to-day life, like what's it like creating an order. And those videos do so well because it makes people, you're so much more transparent. And like people are now, because you're transparent with your brand, they see your brand. So they want to be part of it. And I think that's such, that was such an important thing for me, like being able to, being able to be transparent. So I started doing a more of how to create an order with me, what my day to day is like as a fashion designer, all of this. And people just love it because as well as inspiring others, you're being transparent with your customers and with your audience. And then they feel like they're part of your brand. Like I have so many people being like, oh, I love being part of your journey, all of this. And I was like, oh, we're part of a journey. So it's just nice not being like being able to create a community in my brand. And like I have to say that I have like a Cabrini Raw world, and I just love having people joining that world and being part of it. So I think it's just Reels and TikTok do so well. And I never knew that up until like making short video content and being able to just like be transparent and be more exposed. I mean, at first I know my brand is Cabrini Roy, but I don't want to see my face in it. She was like, but it's you anyway. She was like, it's you, it's your brand anyway. So just be more open and all of this. And I was like, okay, I stepped out my comfort zone. And that's when I started doing that. And people people really like that. So yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's part of it now. I guess now you have to kind of show who you are as the founder and like, let people into the brand. But again, it inspires so many people. And obviously people buy into the brand once they know who you are and they like you. So it's definitely worth it. I need to like get on TikTok. I've done like one video, got like 5 views. I was like, forget this. I'm not a TikTok girl. But it was not a great video, to be honest with you. But I need to really like put in the effort with my video content because that's where it's at. So I don't know what I'm doing, wasting my time not doing any video.
I think it's stepping outside your comfort zone because having a brand, having like a company like you as well, like it's, you're like kind of like behind something, aren't you? But like when you're in TikTok and all of this, it's literally your face, like you're you're exposing yourself more. But I think it's just stepping outside of that comfort zone,
literally. So you've done a lot, Cabrini, especially for your age. If you're to look back at everything, is there anything that you'll change or do differently?
I think if I was to go back in the beginning, I would definitely like, I don't have any regrets or anything I'd like to change, but I think the one thing that I would love to have done is like document the process in the beginning so much more. Like I wish I had more content and pictures of images, like early stages of building my brand that I can look back on. Because I think like the process is such a key element of creating a label, and I didn't really document it as much as I do now. Like I literally document every order that I make. I would take pictures, all of this, but I didn't do that early on in my brand. I wish I did, because I did so much at the early stage of my brand, and I wish I just documented the process more because it's really nice to look back on. So yeah, I think that's the one thing I would love to have done.
Yeah, but it's okay now that you know you can do it. And I would say like your better years are ahead of you. So although you didn't get to document everything in the beginning, it's like this is still fair enough. Not necessarily the beginning, but it's a good place to start because there's so much that you're going to do, you know? So
yeah. Oh, I love that. Yeah.
Do you have any parting advice for our listeners?
So of the cliche as don't give up, but also as hard as it is, honestly, like, don't compare where you are now to others. Like I used to do this a lot, especially after graduating. Like I used to see my friends doing so well, already starting up a label or straight after graduation. And I think it's just the key, like don't compare where you are to others because you'll get there. I know it's hard, but like your season will come. I think it's just important to just keep working hard. And I used to when I was working in retail, I used to love the season I was in because it would lead me to the next. So I think just enjoy the season you're in because it's building you up to the next season, like to the next when you want to start your brand, when you want to start your business, it will lead you there. And I always used to think as well, like, what can I do today that leads me closer to my goal? So when I was working in retail, that's the one thing that I did. I used to do one thing every day that would lead me closer to my goal. And I think that's so, I think that's literally, I always tell that to everyone, like, what can you do today that brings you a step closer to your goal? Like, even if it's little step, even if it's baby steps, it's still little step that will bring you closer to your main goal. So yeah,
I love that. And it can be so small. It can be like just researching something or following this account or listening to a YouTube video.
Literally, honestly, it can be the tiny step. I think just start and just take those baby steps. So yeah.
Thank you. I love that. So where can our audience find you?
So you can find me at Cabrini Roy, which is my brand, on Instagram and TikTok. And I'm actually starting up like a YouTube soon. I'm starting that up next week. So I have my first video coming out next week. And that will just be Cabrini Roy as well. And if you want to follow my personal account, it's Cabrini _ Roy. So everything Cabrini Roy.
Yeah. If you just type in, you'll find everything. Amazing. Thank you so much. That was amazing. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you. I really enjoyed that too. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much for tuning into today's episode. I hope you're inspired to take action on your dreams right away. If you enjoyed it, please leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. This really helps us expand our show and reach more people just like you. Until next time, keep striving and thriving.